I'll see if I can pick up another paper route.
Yeah, and I already talked to Alona about working a few more hours at the boutique.
I appreciate that, kids, but we need the money now. We'll have to sell the one thing we own outright, the TV.
Hey, that's a great idea. Thelma, get Harry's Hock Shop on the phone.
Okay.
Ma, do we have to sell a TV tonight? I want to watch the Waltons.
If we don't sell it, we gonna be the Waltons.
Hello, this is Mark, and I wanted to introduce myself and let you know how to reach out to me if you have an interest in coming onto the show. About 4 years ago, I created the Walnut Grovecast podcast to discuss my love of Little House on the Prairie. Since then, I've had the opportunity to speak with many people involved in the production, and when someone asked me if I would consider creating a podcast about the Waltons, I thought it was a great idea. So here we are. When I was little, my family watched the Waltons, and I don't really remember it. I remember watching it, but I don't remember specifics. Only recently have I decided to do a complete rewatch. I hope you enjoyed the series, and if you have any questions or comments, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. My email is mark, M-A-R-K, at thewaltonspodcast.com. Without further delay, please enjoy this very first episode of the Waltons Podcast. Welcome to the very first episode of the Waltons Podcast.
Yay!
My name is Mark, and I am on with Susan King. How are you doing, Susan?
I'm doing awesome.
It's the first one.
Excited to be here with you.
This is awesome. This is great. I'm so excited for this. I really am. I did not expect to enjoy the Waltons as much as I've been enjoying the Waltons. And I'm just totally inspired to kind of jump into it and create this podcast. And here we are.
I know. I was thinking earlier today, it's like the Waltons, Little House, and Dr. Quinn, all top my top three shows.
Really? Those
and
are your top three?
I've got podcasts for every one of them, so it's wonderful.
What else do you watch? I'm just kidding. What's next?
I really don't watch much episodic television. I do still watch the Waltons. I record it every day. My mother loves to watch it, even though I have the whole DVD set. And
it's easier to watch something, I think, when it's out of your control. You know, it's like maybe they're showing it sequentially and all of that stuff, but really it's kind of like, well, what's on today? It makes you just feel like a part of something, I think, anyway.
Yeah, it does. There's something very special about an episode. I've been trying to get my girlfriend, who's totally not interested in the Waltons, I've been trying to get her to watch my two favorite episodes, and she's just not there yet. So I don't know. She thinks John is mean that every episode she's watched a little of, he's had an attitude.
Wait, and I'm like, John Boy or John Senior?
No, John Senior.
Yeah, because I'm like,
just like he's just such a, he's just so mad all the time. I was like, no, you can't say that.
I don't get that.
You haven't watched it.
I really don't get that at all.
I mean, he has his moments, but my goodness, you know. So she doesn't know. She just doesn't know.
So the episode we're talking about today. So, all right. Many people might know my nasal voice from Walnut Grovecast and Dr. Quinn cast. But one of the things that I've chosen to do for the very first time with any of these podcasts is to do the show in order. So we're starting with episode one, and next episode will be two and three and four and so on and so forth. I think it's 212 episodes.
Yes.
We'll see if we'll get to the end. I don't know. I'm pretty close with Walnut Grove cast.
Yes.
But, you know, so you can also – this is a new podcast, so we might have a few little bumps, but I think it'll be pretty smooth. This episode that we're about to talk about is called The Foundling.
The Foundling.
It aired on Thursday, September 14th, 1972, which was the same month that my Volkswagen Beetle was built.
And I had just turned 11 the month before.
Do you watch The Waltons first, you know, right off the bat?
Oh, yes.
So
with the whole family laid out, with my dad grumbling about how sugary sweet it was, but he was in front of that. He was in front of that TV every week.
It's no Archie Bunker.
Well, we watched the Bunkers too.
it's like the polar opposite. I did a little bit of jumping around to see what was going on in the middle of September of 1972. I'm going to play a song. This is the song that was the number one song that week. All right. Are you ready for this? We'll see if an 11-year-old Susan King was a big fan of Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Naturally.
Yeah. Whoops. So this is a good song, by the way. I think it's a good song.
I love that song.
I won't play the whole thing because I think it'll sue us or something. From now, if I'm not feeling any less sad, I promise myself to treat myself and number one movie in 1972 in the second week of September was The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
I bet you do 11-year-old Susan King did not.
Did not see that until I was grown.
Yeah.
When I was feeling pity potty, I had the 45 of Alone Again Naturally. You better believe it.
It's a good song. It's a really good song.
Yeah, it really is. Great lyrics.
Yeah. And what else? On the night it aired, okay, what you had missed was instead of what 8 o'clock.
What was the competition?
The competition, good old Flip Wilson show, 1 hour block.
Okay.
And that's on NBC. On ABC, you have The Mud Squad, the episode The Connection, 2 hours of it. I never watched The Mud Squad. Is that a TV movie?
No, it was a regular series.
A two-hour series? It's weird.
Well, maybe that was the beginning of it, or maybe that was the movie of the week before the series started, but it was, a series. Peggy Lipton and, I'm wanting to say Michael Constantine, but I could be wrong.
But, Mod Squad was a regular one-hour show, I thought. So, one-off, The Connection. But that's not where you were. It's not where the... not where the Kings were.
I was laying on my belly with the feet dangling in the air, crushing on John Boy. That was Richard Thomas was one of my crushes.
So in the opening credits, we see him. He's writing, and he's not wearing glasses, which I thought was weird in the opening credits.
He takes them on and takes them off, though. So.
But when he's writing, you think he would have the glasses on. So I
think so.
I think that the glasses are on in future opening segments.
Yeah, they may be.
It's the first of many things I'm going to point out about this show.
All righty.
But all in all, I'm really enjoying it. Now, this is all based off of Earl Hamner's writing.
Yes, Earl Hamner Jr.
No, being 11 years old, and I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, you found that the character of John Boy and Earl Hamner, because Earl Hamner's... being basically portrayed by the John Boy character, was an inspiration for you to kind of write your own personal thoughts.
Yes, yes, right? Yes. Proud to say, no matter how little it is, I am a published writer. Awesome. And absolutely. That, John Boy for me was a very, he was a very romantic character, and not in a romantic, but his character was very sensitive. And I think maybe it's a prejudice, but I think that most writers kind of see the world differently. We kind of, I don't know, just look at things in more detail. I don't even know how to describe it. But.
Right. No, I get it. I think it's great because I can kind of see why you would be so inspired by this character. I think he's a romantic. He's a romanticist. He always sees kind of like the other side of a coin, which I think is good. And we get a little bit of that in this particular episode, I think.
I'll point
that out. But
Marsha Woolery.
Marsha Woolery. It's actually not. I like
and
Marsha.
I didn't remember that she was in it from this very first episode. Of course, because I've been watching it forever, that I knew about Marsha Woolery. But I was like, well, Hot diggity, what do you know? They introduced her character in the very first episode because they were off and on, off and on.
Now, I have friends who live in Virginia, and I think the accents are pretty solid.
But, you think so?
But the one person who probably actually is from Virginia, Earl Hamner, he sounds like he's from Canada.
Yeah, where does... See, when shut up. That is exactly what I'm thinking. It's like he's got... So, I love his voice.
Here's
when
his
he
voice
does the narration, I just kind of melt into the floor. He's just got a wonderful... But right. It's like, wait a minute. they speak that way in Shiloh, Virginia? Really?
Right, in the mountains? What? But yeah, I mean, it's... And a lot of the episodes start out like, when my family was living on that mountain during the Depression.
During the Depression.
They have to say it over and over again. The Depression. I'm like, did they really call it the Depression so much? I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they did.
Yeah. Yeah. They
Sounds
did.
Depressing.
They did.
But here's that voiceover. And I'm going to point out what I think is so Canadian.
Okay.
When I was growing up during the Depression, I lived with my redheaded brothers and sisters, my parents and grandparents, at the foot of a mountain which had been in our family for generations. My father used to say that in our house there was always room for one more. And I remember a morning when his hospitality was put to a challenging test.
House, room.
House. I know. I thought the same thing. House.
And he says it again. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here?
I would love to. I have watched videos of his real brothers and sisters trying to detect if they had that same accent. And it's been so long ago that I don't remember, but
I'm waiting for, Earl didn't grow up with us. He grew up in Canada and up in Montreal. So I'm like, but yeah, according to IMDb, unfortunately we did lose him in 2016, but he did live to be 92, which in my eyes is a pretty nice ripe age. But it says here he was born in Shiloh, Virginia. So who knows? I mean, sometimes I hide my Long Island accent fairly well, and sometimes it slips out. So maybe he really loved the Canadian accent. He's like,
well, and I think it's really strange. I remember a long time ago when I lived in Central/West Texas. Oh my gosh, when my parents came up to visit me, they couldn't even, it was like, what happened? Because I was just talking like, it's like when you have other people around you that it's like before you know it, you just kind of, at least I do. I just flip right into it. Yeah, right.
You start talking like there's molasses in your mouth.
right. Exactly. So yeah, so I can flip that on and
that's great.
Flip it off.
I cannot count a number of times that people have told me, like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to have Susan on again. We love Susan's laugh. We love Susan. And that's why truly, 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 I'm so honored to have you be on the very first episode. I hope you do several of these with me.
Oh, I would love to. I want to do my favorite episodes.
What's that?
The Easter Story is one of my favorites, and then the Airmail Man. I just
with Starsky,
with Paul Michael Glacier. I know that I'm talking. I'm not going to talk about another episode, only to say that scene between John Boy and his mom when he reads her that poem for her birthday.
Yeah.
It's just magic.
It's beautiful.
To me. It's
beautiful.
Just magic.
Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love all. You know. There's some I don't like, but
a lot of people
get weird into the sci-fi stuff they're fun though. The Ouija board.
I love it. And the Ouija board does make an appearance in this very first episode.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Gosh, where was I?
I'm going to point it out.
All righty.
Y'all. All right. So we got some pretty cool music here. And I think, I also think they have the coolest name for a dog, which is Reckless. So weird.
Reckless.
But here we go. Some dingy looking blonde lady. Wait a minute. Is that Miss Beetle?
Yeah, we're cross programming.
Oh my God. I'm just playing it for the cool music. This actually sounds like a little Starsky and Hutch, right?
It does.
Reckless is like, you got any smells in your dog? Because I'll eat them.
She don't have that Miss Beetle wig on.
She has nice hair. She's also carrying what looks to be a side of beef. Like,
yeah, right. Make me think of that I Love Lucy episode with the big side beef.
Reckless is just like being reckless. And we go inside. You know, I didn't want to play everything because it was easy to start clipping everything because you know how I am. But being that this is the first episode, I'm going to play a little bit. Now, I'm still watching the series. I'm still very, very new to the series, but I've fallen in love with the series. And one of the things that I find so interesting about the characters is Esther, Grandma.
Yes.
And this woman just complains. Like she, and
she she's crotchety, but you know what? It's with a purpose, because I think I read an article that Ellen Corby said, if everybody was sickening sweet, it would be a boring show. Just like in Little House with Catherine McGregor, there has to be an antagonist. There has to be something spicy. And she and Will Gear together were just amazing.
I wish she was a little bit more like Harriet, I think, but I understand. She does remind me of an old school grandma, though. Like, she really kind of does. Like, my grandmother would, like, chase me around the house with, like, a wooden spoon, like, if I did something wrong, you know. And I could see her doing that type of thing, you know.
Yeah. Oh, she'd hit grandpa with the broom.
Yeah.
So, you know, old man.
But here we go. Complaining Esther. And all right. They're just basically it's kind of like the way the Ingalls would sit around the dinner table, like, talking crap about the town.
Right.
They just kind of sit around complaining about the day. Exactly. In this day of the Depression. They say it so much. And we get Michael Learned, right? Learned?
Learned.
Learned. Beautiful Learned. Woman. Absolutely stunningly beautiful. I love this actress.
Gorgeous.
She's still with us, thank God.
And, yes, she is.
I really want to reach out to her and see if she has any interest in coming on to this. The Waltons podcast, which is the only Waltons podcast, if you can believe it.
Yeah, and a lot of the people, like I was telling you at one point, Judy Norton, it has her own video series on YouTube. It's called Ask Judy. And
I didn't know that.
I've written to her several times on there, and she's answered my questions. And Mary McDonough, Erin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's very, her and Cammie Kotler, they're all very, you know, chatty.
A lot of them are all still around, which is really wild, because this episode is also coming out. I don't want to make you feel old or anything like that, because I just want to point out that I was born just a few months after this show had originally aired, and they actually did an episode on the day of my birth, which I can't wait to review.
Wow.
Yeah, right. That is pretty, and it ended up being a great episode. And I'm not even going to disclose what episode that is yet.
Okay.
But I'll give my address so everybody can send me, gifts.
There you go.
No, I expect nothing but a happy birthday. But I lost my train of thought. It's like
that it's 50 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's 50 years old. This episode is this podcast is being released on the 50th anniversary of this episode, September 14th.
Yes. And I know that's true because I just turned 61 a couple of weeks ago, August 15th. So
don't even look it.
Thank you. 61
is like the new, I think, 31.
Okay. I'll take that.
I'll take it. I'll take 31 while you're at it.
I'll take it.
I'll be 50. In when is this? February.
Wow.
Yeah, just like the show.
Next year.
Just like the
49. You're at that age that nobody believes. Sure, you're 49. Yeah. Just like 39. Nobody believes that either.
I talked about this somewhere else. It was about 5 years ago. I used to lie about my age the opposite way. I'd say, I'm 67. What?
So that's smart, because if you don't look it, then people, you're kidding. You look great. I mean, I'd rather hear that.
67. What? And I just let it roll. They know I'm full of crap, though. But yeah, here we go. Here's the Waltons complaining about the day.
Oh.
In the day of the Depression.
Morning, Livy.
Morning, huh?
And I love Grandpa.
Morning, Livy.
Love this guy. He's the grandpa I think maybe, I don't know about you, but he's the grandpa I wanted. Definitely.
Yeah, Will Gear was really a character, free spirit, hippie kind of guy. I don't know if you know this or not, and maybe some of the people that are listening don't know it either, but he actually planted all of the gardens on the set. Yes, he did. He was a, not an agriculturist, but
a horticulturist?
Yes, yeah. He was a horticulturist. Yeah, he planted all the gardens there on the set. He sure did.
I bet he charged them too. Hope he charged them. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on, yeah. CBS, they got the money.
Have a good rest.
Hardly closed my eyes all night.
20,001 nights I spent with this old woman, more or less, give or take a few. And to hear her tell us she's never closed her eyes in all that time.
Well, the way you snore, what I wish I could close is my ears. I
never. And she's supposed to be about 65, by the way. That makes me feel like, what? No.
Well, they were very wise to keep her as the grandmother. You know, she played the grandmother in The Homecoming, in the original movie. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that
yet. I have not seen it. I've only been focusing on the TV show, but I should go and watch that before I get too far into this.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Patricia Neal, I mean, she's not Michael Learned, but she's, come on, she's Patricia Neal.
Yeah.
And I think it was Edgar Bergman that played the grandfather in Will Gear. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I prefer Will.
And it's great. You know, I have so many favorite characters. That's one of the reasons why I can't wait to like get further and further into this podcast. I can't wait to talk about the Baldwin sisters and some of the recipe and all of these crazy stuff. It's awesome.
Never snored in my life.
Awesome. John Boy, cow's waiting.
I'm coming, Mother.
That cow is really waiting.
Where are you going,
coming Mother?
Coming Mother. It's like Norman Bates level right there.
Right.
Kind of looks like the Norman Bates kitchen a little bit.
A milking sir, she said. In books, it's always the girls that milk the cows.
Just goes to show you shouldn't believe everything you read in books.
I reckon.
But, you know, this is like your basic chatter. Just like it's set up. This is the first time we're meeting these characters for the most part. It's a lot of setup. John Boy goes outside. He practically trips over this, like, what, 9-year-old, 10-year-old girl?
The side of beef.
Yeah, right? I mean, she basically is, like, wrapped up there. And this is where Miss Beetle left. I don't know if we ever get a name for Miss Beetle in this, do we? We just get her as maybe Holly's mom?
No, I think her husband may have said her name at some point. I don't remember.
But yeah, they go to wake her up.
John Boy, carry her inside.
Ow! Oh, she bit me. She's scared out of her wits.
Don't be afraid, honey. Don't be afraid, honey. It's all right.
And Olivia coming in with her best impersonation of Caroline Ingalls, which has not yet been filmed at this point in time. But yeah, I mean, I love this character so much. I really genuinely love the Liv character. She's just great. And I'm not saying that just so I can kiss her butt to get her on the show.
No, I love it. And I love her. And I love Michael and Ralph Waite's chemistry. And she has even said in interviews that they really loved each other in real life. I think they were both going through divorces when the television show started, but they always decided for the sake of the show and the characters, at least that's what's said publicly, that they would never progress in that relationship. But you can see it sometimes when he's playing, you know, daddy flirting with mama. Yeah. She just gets the smile on her face where it's like, girl, the chemistry. It's wonderful.
I'm seeing it more and more and more. Currently in the fourth season, I think. I don't know where I am. I'm watching about 3 episodes a day. I'm just trying to get through.
Oh my goodness. You're an addict.
I am. I'm
3
like,
times a day.
3 times a day. Calm it down. You're going to go blind.
then you've seen the love story. That's one of my favorite episodes too, of course, because it's totally sappy.
Yeah. Well, do you have a current favorite character at this era, like in the beginning? I mean, you said John Boy. Let's not. No, John Boy doesn't count. That's like choosing Laura as your favorite character of Little House.
Right, 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 right. I love Mary Ellen too. Because
I love Mary Ellen. That's my favorite.
And she's quite a business person when you get into the episodes where she's wheeling and dealing with the junk guy with the, yeah. you know. Yeah, she's.
Where she sells the typewriter.
I just want to smack her.
She gets rid of the typewriter. That was a crazy episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Baldwin's typewriter. That was just horrible. But yeah, she. And in some episodes, she reminds me a little too much of myself at that age where it's uncomfortable for me. Mm. But yeah, but her
that's
character.
Okay too. You know.
Yeah, I love her character. Erin was kind in the beginning, at least. She was kind of a tattletale, and Ben to me has always kind of been Jan Brady in my head. He's just, well, you know, I mean, even as an adult, it's like, I don't know. It's like he's hungry for daddy's attention, or I don't know what it is with him, but I just never was that crazy about him.
He grows on me. Well, maybe he'll grow away from me too. he'll grow off of me. But here's some basic breakfast chatter that I think is just super sweet.
Hi, Daddy.
They've given her a good scrub, which she doesn't much like.
Who does?
Has she run away from home, Daddy?
Maybe, or somebody left her on our doorstep.
Is that where you found the rest of us?
No, honey.
Why don't they always laugh at me?
Oh, because you say funny things.
I just thought that was cute. I think Elizabeth is super cute.
That hair.
They're a bunch of carrot tops. I mean, they really are.
Yeah, well, in the movie, you'll see if you ever watch it. Oh, my gosh.
I will. I'm definitely going
to. They put red dye in Richard Thomas's hair and whatever, but Cammie Cotler is the real McCoy, that gorgeous red hair.
Now, get ready for one of the more syrupy, sweet little things that are said between Elizabeth and John.
I reckon she's an orphan, Daddy.
Maybe. Pass the sugar.
If she had a mom and daddy, they'd never leave her on her doorstep, would they?
Not likely, honey. Now, why don't you all finish up and scoot outside till it's time to leave for school?
Aw, we want to see her.
Never be able to see her.
The last thing she needs is to face this mob. Now, out you go.
We're never going to get to see her.
Out.
Did you find me?
Hiding behind one of your mama's smiles, honey.
Aw.
Beep, beep, beep. Cuteness overload.
How many people wrote that in a card for their wives or girlfriends?
Right. It's like... No, the cuteness overload is when she stops and turns around. So it's like, okay, let's kill everybody with how cute Cammie Cotler is.
Ding!
And there she goes.
And the little zoom in. Yeah.
And she is just darling.
Yeah, she really is. She's a great little actress, I think.
She's precious.
They find a little note. Holly is this little girl's name. She's starving. She's another just beautiful little girl. She's a great actress. But as the casual viewer, and that's basically what my role is going to be on this show, I think, is I can't even count how many kids. I've not even counted the amount of kids. And when we get to the sheriff, we learn, I mean, it gets verbalized that they have 7 children.
Yes.
Holy cow. I mean, that is a lot of children. That's like.
It's a lot.
I mean, and that's a pretty big span because how old is Elizabeth, do you think? Like maybe 7, 8, maybe 8.
Maybe 6 or 7. She's not in school yet. I don't believe. Well, no, maybe she is.
Yeah, let's just say 8, just okay. For argument's sake. And John Boy is probably 16 in this?
Yeah, 15, 16.
So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, 8 years of just having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the Liv character looks like she's just fit as a fiddle.
She's just right. Catherine McGregor on Little House, what was that she told Carolyn? It's kind of like being a brood mare. After she gives birth to little Charles or whatever.
Yeah.
Walks up to her at the picnic. It's kind of like being a brood mare. Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. I just talked about that episode. That was funny. So they decide to go to the sheriff. Because it's like, what else are you going to do? Is a missing kid? Sheriff comes out.
Never saw that child before. I can relate.
You mean there's been no report of a runaway girl?
Now, looking at that little thing, I'd lay odds there won't be one.
Well, what do you think we ought to do with that little one?
Well, with 7 of your own to feed, I don't guess you're any too anxious to take on another one.
I do have my own to think of first, so you do.
I think the best thing for me to do is to take that little waif over to the county home.
So Olivia is the woman who takes in every single stray cat, right? I mean, granted, this is a real little girl. I mean, of course, I'm not comparing a little girl to a stray cat. But, you know, she's like, this kitten needs my love.
Exactly. Well, yeah, she's a mama hen. She should, you know.
Now, at this point, I thought it was weird. And I can almost understand why Elizabeth would be a little bit jealous. Because... I don't know.
The way she used to be in the baby.
Yeah, and this one is like the new baby, you know. And they decide to take the child to the doctor. They learn that she's deaf.
Yeah.
Which is, I think these days we would have figured it out a little bit quicker, right?
Yeah, well.
But we ain't country folk. We ain't mountain folk.
Yeah, I think we would have, you know, I don't know, snapped. Done something, stood behind her. I kept thinking,
where's the snaps? You know, it's like, hey, can you hear me or what?
Well, no, I mean, if she didn't jump or move or whatever, didn't act startled, then, you know, then you would know that she couldn't hear if you suddenly dropped something and she didn't turn around or.
Yeah. Or if they had even Reckless next to her barking and she wasn't responding, you know, they could have done a couple of these little things.
Right.
Now we're going to get into your favorite character, Johnny Boy.
Yes.
And he has no shoes on.
He can read me poetry anytime.
I do love his character. I think that they quickly evolved him into a much more likable character because I think in this he's just a little too goody-goody. I think he's still a little goody-goody, but he grows pretty quickly, I think. I like that.
Well, and what's interesting is that I remember a quote from Earl Hebner Jr. when everybody was talking about this is way, way far into the series after we have John Boy 2, mm-hmm. that actually he said the second actor that portrayed John Boy was really a lot closer to how Earl was in real life.
That's so interesting.
I don't know that Earl was all romantical when he was younger. I don't know.
Doesn't matter because now he is.
When I was 11, I ate it up like a spoon. I didn't care.
I like this actor. I think he's a pretty good. I think he's a really good actor.
Yes.
Thy smile, the beaming sun, doth quite outshine, and warms the coursing blood like heady wine.
Now I thought she was eating a corn dog. She's eating a carrot.
Right, yeah, I know. I thought, well, I'm glad she wasn't eating a popsicle. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he would have enjoyed that. Marsha, I like Marsha, but she can be kind of annoying in the future. Kind of.
She's missing her middle name. You need just in the dictionary under fickle. There's a picture of Marsha Woolery.
Yeah, she's a real Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yes, she's a pistol.
Is that all?
Well, that's as far as I've written. You like it?
It sounds just like all that stuff I don't understand in our literature books.
Well, I plan to write at least 12 stanzas of it.
I don't see how you do it.
Well, the inspiration is the important thing. I mean, when someone inspires someone else with feelings... with certain feelings.
Do you drink a lot of wine, John Boy?
What do you
been over to Miss Mamie and Miss Emily's house?
You got that recipe.
Wine? Me?
You mentioned some kind of wine in the poem.
Oh, heady wine. Heady wine. Well, actually, I don't know too much about wine.
My daddy makes dandelion wine.
I don't know. I mean, I guess dandelion wine is a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, what is dandelion wine? I figured you'd have looked that up.
I didn't, but I'm going to, and I might even make it. But it's, people use dandelion in salads. I know. It was a depression salad. It was a depression food. And as we know, they are in the depression.
Yes, they are.
Marcia, when I finish my poem, you think I
can... I ought not to be keeping you from it.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Just something I want to ask Kitty Lou anyways. Bye.
That's called the brush off, John Boy.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Marcia leaving skid marks.
Let's see. They're just basically talking about her, saying, why can't she stay with us? And it's daddy's fault. They're talking about the depression a lot. And, that's basically it. I mean, it's basically she can't stay, and that's that. And they're making John Sr. make that tough decision, which I guess that's his role, right? He's the guy who makes the decision.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at this point that they own the mountain. That's
crazy.
They
own the what?
They own the mountain, like the whole.
Well, if you watch the movie,
yeah,
they talk about owning the mountain. Now, there are episodes where they do have pieces of land, but if you ever watch the original movie, Earl Hamner has a quote that talks about how nobody can ever own a mountain, that they take from it, and
sure,
then they, yeah, I can't remember the exact quote.
Well, it's easy to say those things when your name is on the deed,
you're right.
I do personally feel that way, but hey, whatever. But did the Hamners actually own the land in the way that the Waltons own
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Their original house still stands in Shiler. It's a museum. And then somebody has finally gathered enough money to build a bed and breakfast that looks like the Waltons' house. And you can actually look like the movie set the television set of the Waltons' house, and it's a bed and breakfast.
That's
and
pretty
you can
cool.
go in there and you
All
know,
right, we have to
you
do
can rent, you can rent the whole house if
I,
you want to.
I think the Waltons podcast has to make a traveling excursion to the bed and breakfast.
Oh, yes. Oh, I would love to go. That
live
would be
show. Yeah. but this made me laugh. John Boy always has like funny little things that just make me laugh, and this is one of them.
Daddy, you mad at somebody?
Not.
All right. His foot is just bare. He's like, he's hammering stuff. There's a sawmill there. There are so many things wrong with this show. I mean, we do also see John Boy. You shouldn't be listening to this podcast if you haven't seen the Waltons. So you should know what I'm talking about. When he gets smacked in the face with the board, then next episode, yes, he's right back at using the saw. Which is pretty funny.
That's the Thanksgiving episode. Yeah.
He just couldn't. He had all of his, they had to relieve the pressure in his brain. Crazy.
Well, he trusts his daddy. He doesn't mind having that naked foot up there.
you angry daddy.
Somebody, John Boy. Something I just can't do nothing about.
And we get one of the coolest cars in the show. I love this car.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I think these are all Fords. I know that the Waltons themselves drive, I believe, a 1930, maybe 1929 Ford AA truck.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So I'm looking at buying a car like this.
He's really gone. He's gone.
I'm investing. Look, I have the 1972 Beetle, which was, created the same month that the show was created, or rather it was released. So I may as well go way back into the 20s and 30s.
You may as well.
May as well. You live once.
I want to ride in it once you buy it.
Well, we have to all take a road trip in it to this bed and breakfast at the Waltons.
There you go.
Have a little rah, And we got Miss Beetle in the corner. And
her blue burlap.
Yeah, so it's the sheriff. He's coming to take Holly away.
She is over there.
Whoops. They all seem mad at the sheriff for some reason.
They're not, well, they're not happy with John because the decision that he's making. They're all looking at him like he's
Mary Ellen's
evil,
face.
Evil incarnate.
Mary Ellen's face is like, gosh, pot daddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I better get started.
Elizabeth is like, good, get her out of here.
Right?
She eats too much.
And Holly must know what she was thinking because she's fixing to hijack her doll.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's
She does. She mm-hmm. picks up that doll and just walks into the truck with it.
Yep. And they're all looking at John. Look at look at Liv's face. And Mary Ellen's like, you should be ashamed of yourself, Daddy.
Feed one more, Daddy. You can feed one more. Come on.
And he channels Charles Ingalls here.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we've been thinking, and what we've decided is to keep little girl.
Yeah.
For a while. For a while.
Well, that's you folks are real kind.
Some real folks would call this foolish. Why don't you have some coffee?
Oh, never turn down coffee.
Come on, Holly.
Always have a good coffee.
Never turn down coffee. You know, as I got older, when I was about 13, Sheriff Ebb was my other secret.
Really?
Correct. Yeah. Don't know. I think it was the episode where they had the high school reunion or something where the friend of theirs that used to know Ebb during the war and mm-hmm. they get back together. I was just kind of like, oh, he kind of handsome.
Wait, was he the scammer? Was that the scammer guy?
I'm sorry?
Was that the scammer guy? The guy from the war? Some guy came in and he owed like a bunch of money.
Oh, no. Well, maybe it was. I can't remember.
Well,
I can't remember. I was paying attention to the love story.
Looking at his tuchus.
That's right.
But we get a shot of Miss Beadle and she's happy that, you know, she's going. Well, I didn't mention before that the doctor had handed them a pamphlet about hand signing, which I don't know that I really should have looked up the history of sign language and when it was first created. But the
Waltons, I can't remember, but I know sign language. I used to take sign language classes in college. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. My son Ramiel takes Mandarin in school, which is a crazy, you know, not crazy, but he like loves doing it and he speaks Chinese and all this stuff. So, but he brought up a great point. He's like, I really wish they would offer sign language as a foreign language because he just thinks it would be even more useful than even Mandarin or really any other. Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's like anything else. If you don't use it, you lose it. There's very few. I've known my alphabet since I was a little girl, and my sister was all up in the story of Helen Keller, and then we saw the Miracle Worker movie. And mm-hmm. so I've known my alphabet for 40 some odd years, but a lot of the signs and stuff, because I don't use them, I still remember mother, father, and what, and thank you, and love you, and you know, little stuff like that. But I'd have
great.
To go back and take classes.
I bet it
again.
Would come back. I bet it would come back fairly quickly.
Yeah, it probably would.
You just have to meet that handsome deaf guy.
There you go. They are signing correctly in this though. Really? You know.
Oh, man. I love that. I love that kind of thing. And maybe it even inspired people to go and learn signing, which I would imagine. Yeah. You know.
Maybe so.
Let's see. We have back to John Boy going after Marcia.
How to use it. John Boy tried to teach her.
Oh, he's too busy writing poetry for Marcia Woolery.
Marcia?
He pulls like a Fonzie move here where he jumps over the gate.
Where's your leather jacket?
Now, this is very, I think, non-characteristic for John Boy. He's usually pretty more proper, I think.
Yeah. He's got them hormones going.
Yeah.
Marcia? How come you keep running away from me? I just wanted to read you the rest of the poem.
I don't want to hear it, John Boy Walton.
You don't? Why not?
I told Kitty Lou about you and your poetry. She says you're just making fun of me.
Morse, I was
I
not.
I saw right off she was right. Well, I'm dumb, all right. Probably the dumbest girl in the whole class. Well, you've had all the fun you're gonna have on my account.
Marcia,
you stay away from me, you hear? Away!
He really kind of grabbed her. I mean, for 2022 style, you don't do that. But
yeah.
There's a lot of 2022 things that we're like, whoa, maybe go back and...
No grabbing.
We need to discuss that a little more. I love Mary Ellen when she comes over and she's just like, you know.
That expression is priceless.
It's amazing. We get to meet Ike, who is one of my secret crushes.
Okay. Now,
well, he's our Harry.
Romance.
He's our Nels, right? He is super nice. He's wonderful.
Well, is this a purely social call or do I sense the possibility of a business transaction?
We want 2 cents worth of candy.
And I suppose that the group has reached an agreement as to what kind of candy it prefers.
I just noticed his suspenders are little pipes.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Albert would like that.
Love it.
I say licorice.
Peppermint.
Jelly beans.
Gumdrops.
And what kind do you say, young lady?
She doesn't say anything, Mr. Godsey.
Because she can't.
Oh, so this is your little visitor. And she can't hear a word we say?
But she's smart in lots of ways.
Well, she's lucky to have a friend like you, Jim Bob.
I'm a friend, too.
Oh, no, I meant all of you. So, what's it going to be?
Well, if we get 4 different kinds of candy and divide it 5 ways, nobody's going to get very much. If Jim Bob would spend some of his money.
You mean you still got that birthday quarter?
Well, I want to buy something special with it.
So, what's the verdict?
Vote for licorice.
Me too.
3-1. That's the majority. 2 cents worth of licorice.
2 cents worth of licorice. Now that is a big transaction.
Yeah, I hate licorice.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of black licorice.
I don't like black licorice.
Yeah, I think by this point, red licorice did exist. But in the Little House days, red licorice did not exist. But they had it. They actually had it. Holly looks at this little toy, which I don't really know what it is. It's just like a little ornament of... A blonde character holding a baby? I don't really...
Yeah, I think it's a mom holding a baby.
But I don't know what it is, you know? Like, it's just a figurine in
I think it's supposed to be a sparkle. I never see him shake it like snow.
Yeah, that's
down,
what I was thinking. I don't know.
It's like a leftover from one of Earl Hamner's Twilight Zone episodes. You know he wrote episodes for Twilight Zone, don't you?
You know, I did learn that, but I didn't look up which episodes.
I can't remember now.
That's what this looks like. It's part of is a Twilight Zone episode. And it's, this is the kind of thing that you walk by at a garage sale for a quarter. You're like, you know, even for a quarter, you're like, ugh, what is this?
Yeah, right.
Looks dirty.
What is that?
But yeah, they buy it and they move on. They see, on their way home, they see the haunted house. The haunted house. And they're like, no, don't go there. Because they see Holly starting to go to the house. And apparently this is where she actually lived, which I'm glad that she didn't hear that it was the haunted house. Later on, I guess they sign it to her because she does refer to the house as the haunted house. But it's kind of like, mean, knowing that your house is haunted.
Well, they don't really live there. Holly's mom is hiding out there. She's just kind of hanging out there, making sure that Holly's okay.
I feel like that's where they live. I don't know. I feel like they're homeless. Maybe then. I don't know.
Because if they live there, why wouldn't her husband be there with her? Remember, he drives up and it's like, oh, Eureka, I finally found you.
So she's squatting, maybe.
Right.
And that's where this happens. It's a little bit long, so I'm going to speed through this, which is essentially him coming up, because I really want to hear her name.
I've been looking everywhere for you.
This guy looks like Gavin Newsom from the governor of California, which is crazy. Maybe it's his dad or something.
You're out of my mind wondering what happened to you.
I'm sorry, Anson.
Where's Holly?
So they go in. They're having problems. He apparently had an older brother, I believe, that had some type of learning disabilities, or he was slow, or I don't know what terms to use in this because we don't really have any details on him, but he's referring to Holly as having the same problem and they need to give her up, which I just think is heartbreaking.
Right.
And this is where I started thinking immediately, wow, this is a lot more of a layered show than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about some serious matter here of a mother giving up an older child. Like, this isn't a 6-month-old child, which I'm not going to say it's like easier, but I would imagine a 9-year-old can run back to you at least, you know. It's not like,
well, yeah, they've got a bond, they've got a relationship, right? That's mom. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a decision that I just wouldn't, it just seems like one of the most difficult decisions that a person should make, you know, or would make. And she made the best decision that she knew how to make. And, you know, of course, we're not criticizing her for these decisions. But she basically, he says, you have 24 hours to get Holly. I'm going to take in Holly and I'm going to take care of her.
I'm going to take her myself if you don't take her.
Yeah. The Charlie McCarthy show is on, and everybody's sitting around the radio, and they're waiting for it to come on.
Charlie and Edgar.
Oh, sit down and let me do it.
Come on, the way she talks, you think she'd invented radio.
I hadn't been kept so busy looking after you, I might have.
Good night, everybody.
I also like the banter between them. It's weird. Like, I find her very crotchety, but at the same time, I kind of like the banter between these two.
Mm-hmm.
So John Boy is...
John Boy, aren't you listening to Charlie McCarthy show?
No, not tonight, Daddy.
What's wrong with the boy? Is he sick?
Love sick, wants to be alone.
Mary Ellen.
I am not.
And I suppose that was the extent of your musical education.
Hit me again.
Well, no, not completely.
No.
Oh, no.
So they're all sitting around the radio. You saw that face? Ha. Sitting around the radio, and we get this like surreal image of Holly, because Holly can't hear the radio, but she's sitting there. And I thought it was really, really forward thinking for the producers to lower the volume. And we're getting it from her perspective where they're laughing, yes, without any sound. And I thought it was like, it was really, really a smart move.
Yes. It's going deeper and letting us see things from her perspective. Right. And it's just marvelous.
And everybody looks like a lunatic because, I mean, that's what you look like, I guess, you know. And she's just, you can't help probably but feel very uncomfortable. John Boy looks at her and maybe it's starting to click and he knows something's up. So she just kind of excuses herself, basically, and walks upstairs. He goes up and in a very, very sweet way talks her through learning a few words and communicating with her through sign language. At first view, this whole thing would not be on modern television. We would not have the 16-year-old boy following the little girl up and being alone in the bed with her, you know. It would all be a very questionable thing. But it's the Waltons, people. Calm down. You can let go of your pearls right now.
And I love the way that they do this scene, because being so aware and kind of into sign language via the Miracle Worker movie and all the stuff that I experienced in my childhood regarding deafness, I was so hoping they weren't going to do the big, she knows.
Right.
And the way that they did it was very gentle. It's not like they had her talking 100 words a minute.
Right.
Of course, she could see and she could speak. Oh, no, I guess she can't speak, but she can see. I mean, she wasn't totally deaf, dumb, and blind like Helen Keller was, but still, she just spells happy. Mm-hmm. And they just did it gently and realistically instead of going over the top with the big crescendo music and everything.
It's like a this or that, and she did a this or that, and it was like we got through to her. There's somebody in there. And we kind of knew it, and it's just really great. She is brought out. John Boy brings her down to share this news with everybody. Grandpa's probably like, we're listening to McCarthy.
Right.
Boy, what on earth?
I want you all to pay very close attention now, because Holly here's got something she wants to say to you.
So I invented Grassy that wouldn't grow. How absolutely.
And her face is so cute when she does it.
I know. She is adorable.
And they all freak out.
Happy!
How'd you do it?
Elizabeth is like, this is bull crap.
Uh-oh. Right. Give me my doll back.
Yeah. She's like, you better sleep with one eye open, Blondie.
Right.
Is she even blonde? She's gonna slit her throat. If anybody's listening from Queens, she's gonna go 718 on her. That's a look you don't want from a ginger. This I thought was kind of interesting. I think it's harmless.
John Boy goes nuts, looking all dapper in his little cap.
Oh, yeah, he's got his little Kengo on. You know, it's very cute. Comes in, steals a kiss.
John Boy, what? Suppose somebody saw you.
Well, then I reckon they'd think I was fond of you.
What would they think of me?
Well, that'd depend on how you acted when I give you the kiss.
I'd holler. Slap your face.
Is that how you felt?
Boy, these two are really going to have a lot of fun in the future, huh?
She knows she wants him to kiss her again. Come on.
She's cute, and he's cute, and they're cute together.
Yeah.
But this whole stealing a kiss thing and really coming on strong is something that, again, is very much not 2022 style.
But no.
This is a half a century ago. This is, in my opinion, completely harmless and cute, and I love it, personally.
Yeah, I do, too.
But yeah, Marcia's a bit of a flirt, in my opinion. But you know what? I think it's okay. Ike is giving a guy a shave.
I love that. It's just like, wow, dentist office, shaving place.
Yeah, it's
general
like,
store.
You need a nickel's like worth of cheese, some crackers, play a little billiards. I'll give you a shave. Gas. Right. I mean, he's basically Walmart, right?
Well, there you go. It is.
Yeah. Oh, we got a poker table here.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And there, if you look right here, the Ouija board.
Nice. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And it makes a few appearances.
Oh, hi, Mr. Godsey.
Hey, ladies. What can I do for you?
Mr. Godsey, mom, and eat some starch and bluing.
Okay. Jebby.
The guy's like, can you finish my shave?
I'll be right back. Starch and bluing coming up.
So I'm going to blast through this. Jim Bob, right? I'm still trying to remember the names.
Jim Bob.
Jim Bob sees that Holly keeps looking at this little toy, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to buy it for her with my birthday quarter.
The Twilight Zone toy.
Yeah, the yard sale toy that you don't buy for a quarter, he paid a quarter for.
Look at that little angel. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she's so stinking cute.
And her little dress is cute. I mean,
aww.
I don't know. I really like this actress. I'm so glad that we get to see her so often in the future episodes. Just kidding.
Right.
Just like the Little House in the episode. Little House on the episode. Little House on the Prairie. These people go and we never see them again.
We never see her again.
Let me see. Everybody thinks Jim Bob is awesome for buying the toy. And again, we get Elizabeth who's like rolling her eyes like this is. She's like sitting in the corner smoking a cigarette. She's like, this is crap. I've had enough of this. I get it. She's deaf. So what?
I'm going to cut my pigtails off and protest.
Right. I'm going to go get some. She's going to get her hair frosted like in that episode where they bleached their hair. Remember that? Where they did Jim Bob's hair. It was like, what?
Right.
See, isn't it good? I know some of the episodes. I'm doing my Walton's lingo.
You are.
Yeah. Let's see. Holly tries to share, but Holly is like, I'm sorry. Holly tries to share the toy, but Elizabeth is like, I don't want to. She's really just jealous.
At least she got her doll back.
It's true. Yeah, she got her little doll back. I feel bad. I really do feel bad for Elizabeth. I really like the Elizabeth character, and I really kind of get it. You're not the little one that's getting all the attention. it's kind of crazy. John Boy sees Miss Beetle in the bushes and goes to confront her with an axe. I don't know if you noticed that. He's holding an axe. Look at this.
It turns into a Twilight Zone episode.
Look at this.
Ma'am? Can I talk to you for a minute?
That's how a horror movie begins.
Oh, it's not burlap. It looks like her costume's got a little bit of a print on it. I always thought it looked like burlap.
Oh. I really like her hair, though.
Not Holly?
Look at this. Like, you have this mountain boy coming up at you with an axe. You run for the hills.
Holly?
Is she your little girl? Why don't you come on home and talk to my mama? It's all right.
Have you ever seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Right.
I'm getting vibes of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, the sad thing is as many times as I've seen this episode, I have never noticed an axe.
There it is. I'm not making it up, though.
I know. I can see it, but I've never noticed it before. I thought you were just playing, and then I was like, oh, holy crap, he does have an axe.
On top of it, he's kind of hiding it a little. Like he's
right?
And he would be the ultimate, like, Norman Bates serial killer.
Yeah, well.
No. Not this kid.
He plays a maniac really well. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie You'll Like My Mother. That's where he met Cyan Barbara Allen, the girl that plays Jenny in the love story episode. They were really dating in real life when they filmed that episode.
I didn't know that.
And they met on the set of You'll Like My Mother, starring Patty Duke.
I love Patty Duke, yeah.
TV movies of the week. You weren't even born yet, probably. And he plays Kenny, this psychopath. Oh, child. It's a
what
good
year
movie.
Is
it
that?
Even holds up today. It holds up today. It's really good.
What year is that?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Probably 73.
So it was not too long after the beginning of this show.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw an episode of What's My Line on Facebook, and Richard Thomas was the guest on there, and the guy, whoever was hosting it, said, I just saw you last night on TV playing a maniac. That really surprised me. So it was filmed the night after You'll Like My Mother.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
I was crazy when I watched it. I just went, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it was... Yeah,
I love those old game shows.
Yeah, maybe between the first and second season of The Waltons. I don't know.
I mean, I love the fact that he's a diverse actor. I really want to look that up.
Well, you know, he's on Broadway right now.
I didn't know that.
In playing Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Get out of here. I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're back in Ike's Mercantile. And
slicing cheese and getting bread.
Now listen to what he
crackers.
We have Holly's dad in here, and he's going to order a nickel's amount of cheese and 5 cents of crackers. Like what? I don't get that.
They pulled that from the original movie because a customer came into Ike's in the movie and ordered the exact same thing.
Well, you get a nickel here. Listen to
it. Hey. Holly, what can I do for you?
Better let me have a nickel's worth of cheese and about 5 cents worth of those soda crackers in.
Right.
It's the same thing, dummy.
I know. I thought wait a minute. 5 cents and a nickel.
Ike basically gives him directions directly to where Holly is. Because he just brings up that the little girl was with them, right? Like he said, I'm looking for my daughter. And he's like, well, you can find him right down the road.
About a half a mile down the road at the Waltons' place.
Elizabeth decides that what she's going to do is run away, which is just going to add so much amazing drama to everyone. And she sees the haunted house. She thinks she has like a laughing face. She thinks it's going to be funny to go into the haunted house and have Holly follow her.
Yeah.
Just seems a little cruel at this point. She goes and she hides in a trunk. and gets locked in. Holly sees that her blanket is in there, or the doll is kind of peeking out. So she's trying to open the chest. It doesn't open up. Holly goes to run out, runs into Dad. She's trying to say, like, no, 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 you have to go inside, just using finger gestures. And she's like, no, 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 I've given your mother a chance, you know, thinking that she's gesturing to go talk it out with Mom. It's not going to happen. Miss Beetle goes and meets with Caroline and the Olsons.
It was wrong leaving her like I did. But I felt this was a house filled with love, and I felt that with a family like you, with people like you, that maybe something good would happen.
So it has.
You're doing just fine.
She's a very bright little girl, you know. She can talk with her hands.
Well,
just wait till you see those fingers flying. Feelings bubbling up like clear water from a spring. She'll be here in a minute. But I don't know how to read the sign.
I also want to point out another thing in this episode that I'm going to guarantee not there's not one Waltons fan that has pointed this out. And once I show it, I think it will become a trend throughout the entire series.
You learn.
If you look to the right of the screen, he is a fern. There's a fern in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a feeling there are going to be ferns throughout the world of the Waltons series.
Yeah, probably.
Just like in Little House.
I've killed every fern I've ever bought. They look so pretty when I buy them and give it a month, and child, they're dead.
But they got a fern.
Like the rest of us. Papa was talking to her just last night.
Now, don't encourage him.
Well, there's nothing to it. I learned in no time.
Daddy, Elizabeth and Holly are gone.
All right, so they're missing. And they're like, well, what do you mean gone? Let's see. We get a kind of a grandpa moment, which I thought was a cute little back and forth.
Can't have gotten far.
And I'll go look around the back pasture.
You see to it, you don't get lost.
I always find my way back to you, old woman.
With a little bit of recipe in my belly. Holly's dad needs gas. He's like running out, and he's just basically apologizing to her, saying that's just the way it's got to be. Gets tight. I love that little truck. It just needs a wash.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a great little truck. I love it. A little short bed. It's so cute.
I mean, imagine just rolling around that thing. That's great. Probably gets like 80 miles to the gallon.
Well,
right.
I was hoping you'd make it back before you ran out.
Better give me a couple of gallons, I guess.
Okay. Want to see you find your little girl.
Yeah.
Well, look at her hands going there. I bet she sure is excited about being back with her daddy, huh?
Now you stay in there. How about the gas, huh?
He's real friendly. How about just the gas?
Come right.
On. Let's see. We're doing a big old rolling around, and we have the Waltons. I keep almost calling them the Ingalls. That'll go away eventually. Oh, Ike's is also the post office. That's right. I forgot about that. He's also the post office. Let's see.
It's a dessert topping and a four wax.
It's pretty awesome. So let's see. The Waltons pull up in their green double A.
Ike, you seen anything? A couple of runaway girls?
Runaways?
It seems Elizabeth decided to leave home and Holly traipsed along to keep her company.
Well, Holly was just here with her daddy.
And the music that's about to be played is so cool.
Her daddy?
Yeah, I thought you two met when he picked her up.
How far ahead are they, Ike?
Better get moving, John. All right.
They're racing along as fast as they can at about like 20 miles per hour.
Right.
Go faster, Daddy.
Yeah.
Hurry up, Daddy. Can't you go any faster?
Honey, I'm going as fast as I can.
It's so funny.
That music reminds me of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, it's exactly that kind of like mountain music. It's exactly it. Let's see. They pull over. They cut him off. They cut off Dad, and they confront him.
Just what the devil's going on here, mister?
Uh-oh, road rage.
Yeah, exactly.
Road rage.
Elizabeth, I don't know no Elizabeth. She's my little girl.
Little girl?
That's right, mister.
Daddy!
Know.
Just a minute, Mary.
Holly says Elizabeth Smith has locked herself in a box or something.
Holly says?
Locked herself in a box. Where?
So they're signing like the haunted house. It's like, that's my, that's my home temporarily. It's pretty visual at this point. They run in and they force open the chest. Very scary, I think. I think to be locked in something like this, it has to be claustrophobic. And she's all sweaty and sad.
Oh,
and
yeah, she's a little sweat ball.
Yeah.
Daddy!
Oh, sweetie. Sweetie, you all right, baby? Baby.
You dumb redhead. You don't ever run again. There's a little girl. Yeah, she's like, and I saved the day.
Oh, darling.
They all go back to the house for some tea and to call CPS.
She's perfectly okay. Tomorrow she'll be off to school same as always.
That's my girl.
These days, she would get a CAT scan. She would get... all types of neurological
tests. But look how content she is, surrounded by everybody, and all the attention is on her.
And yeah, it's crazy.
We better be getting on.
So, from your point of view, do you just let him off the hook like this? I mean, a lot of drama has just happened where you were just kidnapped your kid and. I just feel like this family needs help.
Well, I think they do need help, but you know, it's interesting. Kind of this topic kind of comes up again in the episode with the bookseller and how he takes the money, and ultimately they ended up blaming it on the depression and. Everybody's got their own mind but I don't know. I didn't grow up during the depression. Yeah. Of course, my dad did. And that's why my dad, you know, there might be a lot of people nowadays that say, oh, you know, FDR destroyed our country by offering all this free crud through the government. But, my dad was always an FDR fan because his dad actually got a job, you know, making a dollar a day on the WPA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kept them eating until he finally got a job on the B&L Railroad. So, there was people just like there was people that committed suicide jumping off the top of buildings during the crash. Mm-hmm. The depression. I mean, when you read all the stuff about it, the Dust Bowl families, and it wasn't unusual for people to drop their kids off at orphanages and stuff because they couldn't feed them.
Well, you know, like the term hobo is in reference to a homeless boy. And there were were so many homeless boys that they would just basically hop the trains and just travel and try to find work or do whatever they have to do to get money. And yeah, I mean, there was this whole culture of survival. But yeah, you're right. I mean, people weren't able to have their children. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
People were literally starving to death in this country. Still are. Still have
the
issues.
Soup lines and the... Mm-hmm. The unemployment being, you know, and the percentages were just, I can't remember now, of course, because I'm an old woman, but I did some in working on my memoir. I had to do some research around the depression because of talking about my dad growing up. And yeah, the numbers just, when I was reading it, I was just like, holy smoke. So yeah, it was just.
It's interesting.
Horrible.
And for all intents and purposes, I look at the Waltons as not being as poor as I expected them to be.
Well, but they're not because they're farmers. They can grow their own food. You know, Olivia's got all kinds of canned stuff down in the cellar. And I think Earl Hamner said that, you know, in real life, that's really how it was. They weren't hit as hard as most because they had, you know, milk from the cow and, you know, butter and cheese from the milk and... You know, grew their own vegetables. I mean, imagine trying to feed that many kids during, you know, a depression.
I mean, 7 kids. Holy cow. Now, in the beginning of this episode, when it finally does air, It's going to start with a quote from Good Times, from the 1970s show Good Times. And you'll hear what they say, but they really do reference as being so poor. Like they're going to go hawk their TV. And I think you get a laugh at it just because, you know, Good Times is a hilarious show. But
right.
But also funny because it's in reference to the Waltons. But yeah, I season two, I noticed that right away they made them a little poorer. They were a little bit more frugal with things. All of a sudden, there wasn't sugar on the table. There wasn't complete coffee sets out. And I think that's something they had to learn from season one, maybe.
Is that, yeah, maybe so. Their electricity got turned off.
Right,
got
stuff like
off
that.
On the episode
exactly.
And, yeah.
And then Grandpa had to go and do his thing to get it turned back on with the Baldwin sisters.
Right.
That was a great episode. I can't wait to get to that one. But I guess it's the right thing to do for them to try again to be a family. I just wish they didn't think that their girl was stupid, really. And that's kind of the vibe I got. Like, there's no, you know, like,
well,
go to
I
a
think
doctor.
Her dad did. I don't think her mom ever right, wanted you're right, to give you're her right. away. That's why she was hiding her for a while.
It's just, I wish that they had gone to the local doctor or... Maybe they just didn't have the money. It's that's the sad reality of it, right?
Yeah.
But I hear the.
Oh, that's nice of you, but I'd like to get home. We owe you all so much.
I'd say that Holly squared all accounts today.
It's like a whole audience when they all talk at the same time.
Right.
It's really hilarious.
Their own little theater group.
Let's see. They teach the dad to sign. It's very cute. We get this little communication thing. And what can be better? All of a sudden, we notice that there's something for good old JB in a package.
Come on.
And it's not Jim Beam.
Hey, what's this?
Huh?
Well, I don't know.
Who's it for?
Yeah, tell us.
It's for John Boy.
Oh,
it's for JB, boy. Mary Ellen is just waiting to just mess with him. I love her character so much.
Come on, open it.
I am.
Come on, fast.
I am.
Come on. What is it? It's a gingerbread. Who's it from?
Give it back. Come on. Give it.
Marsha Willery. Oh, John. Isn't that sweet?
What does it say?
Pure poetry.
Aw, I thought that was very cute and very nice.
Very sweet.
We get our final.
Very sweet.
We get our I bet you that I don't even like that kind of dessert or anything, but I bet you it's pretty good. Pretty
I bet
good.
You it's pretty good. Yeah. Well, you know what has always befuddled me, because I remember reading an article again. It amazes me. I just, this totally useless information just rumbles around in my head. No different than Little House, no different than Dr. Quinn, mm-hmm. Walton's too. But when I really start thinking about it, about how much I know about the actors and the characters and mm-hmm. the storylines, Earl Hamner Jr., the real John Boy. I always wondered, it's like, what is the deal with the name and then the boy? Because the first incarnation of the Waltons is a movie called Spencer's Mountain with Marina Hara. And I'm wanting to say Henry Fonda. Mm. That was the very first book about the quote unquote Waltons, but it's Spencer's Mountain. It's the Spencer family. And in that, what's his name? The guy that played Dano on Hawaii 5-0.
I would probably just call him Dano.
Sorry. Yeah.
I know you're
but
talking
in the
about.
In the movie, he's called Earl Boy.
Earl Boy.
And it's like, did they really call you Boy, it's
doesn't
just
really
always
roll.
Been weird to me.
Earl Boy doesn't really roll off the tongue like John Boy.
No, it doesn't. But it's just like, what's with the boy thing? They didn't call it Aaron Girl or Mary Ellen Girl.
Yeah, it might have been a nickname. I don't know. Huh.
It's just always been weird to me. It's like, what's with the boy thing?
I don't get it. I don't know, Susan girl.
Me either, Mark boy.
Yeah, Mark boy doesn't really work, right?
But I'm sorry.
Here's our final voiceover. I said Mark boy doesn't really work too well.
Yeah, well.
But here's our final voiceover.
Those were lean years, and for many Americans, a harsh and bitter time. On Walton's Mountain, we were sustained with poems and gingerbread and laughter and sharing, but most of all, by a remarkable mother and father. The house in which we were born and raised is still there, still home, and on the winds that sigh along those misted, blue-ridged mountains, our voices must echo still.
So he said house again.
Right, house.
And I love these end segments with the little harmonica thing.
Yes.
I hated it at first, but I think it's so cute and quaint and just very, very sweet. So here's the very first one for the TV series.
John Boy, you awake?
What you want, Ben?
Are you going to marry Marsha Woolery?
You want me to?
She makes good gingerbread.
Well, I'll think about it. Good night now.
Good night.
That's it. We did it.
Applause, 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 exactly. Applause. I just love it. I just love it.
Now, we went a little bit long, and maybe not every episode is going to be this long, but you know what? This is kind of how it works with even on Walnut Grove Cast. So we're just going to have a casual conversation.
Like, I've seen some of your Dr. Quinn episodes that have gone on for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, that's the average is for Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman episodes are two. For a 45-minute episode, 2 hours. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a, you know, it's a sewing circle. It really is. We just keep going back and forth and back and forth. But, you know, we have a lot of fun over there. Still having a lot of fun with Walnut Grove Cast. And now the fun has come to Walton's Mountain.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to do a bunch of like solo episodes because I do want to try to get through them. But if there are particular episodes that you're interested in doing, I'd absolutely love to have you back on and do this. And
oh yeah,
all that kind
I
of
can
stuff.
Think of a bunch of episodes that I just love. Well, the actress is another one that I love.
Mm.
Also, have you seen the actress, the famous actress whose car is broken down, and at the end she ends up doing
broke. They find out that she doesn't have any money.
Yeah, but I just love the end of it where she does the little play in Godsey's store, and then she reads some of John Boy's writing, and it's just so tender and sweet.
Yeah. Also, I've made this correlation that there's well over 200 actors and actresses who are on Little House on the Prairie that are also on The Walton.
Shut up. Yeah, really?
And I've made the list, and I will point it out as it goes along. But we start with the big one. We start with Charlotte Stewart, who will never return to the show, of course. Hopefully she'll return to my podcast. But, I mean, she never returns to the Waltons.
I know. I wonder what – I mean, at the time, nobody knew what the Waltons was. It took a minute for it. As I'm wanting to say that it almost got canceled, and there was
– really?
An infamous fan rise up. I may be mixing it up with another because it did happen, several times within in the history of television. But it took a minute for it to catch on. I know that Michael Learned and Richard Thomas and Ellen Corby and Will Gear, I know they all won Emmys in doing it. But yeah, I'm almost saying that it took a minute for it to catch on.
Well, I'm gonna start digging on some ratings and all that kind of stuff. And, the Waltons also had more product than a show like Little House on the Prairie. I hate to constantly compare it to Little House. A lot of people have told me that they kind of don't like the Waltons. They either like the Waltons or they like Little House, which I think is strange.
That is strange because I know a lot of people that like both.
Hopefully, right? And I don't know. I don't think that so far I have found nothing to dislike. I love the era of early 20th century. I like this period of time. I want to see how all of this goes into the wartime. I want to see how it grows. And
I love the hats and the shoes and the clothes. And I just, the trucks. I love it.
Yeah. And well,
even
Susan,
the gas pumps.
Yeah, the gas pumps, which are accurate. They show like a liquid on top, and that tells you how much of the gas is actually in the tank to that they can fill. Pretty cool stuff. And yeah, I really I am really enjoying the Waltons. But
well, I used to have a Little House lunchbox. I don't have a Waltons lunchbox, but I do have the Waltons board game.
Nice. I have a Little House on the Prairie board game.
Oh, I didn't remember that there was such an. Oh, yes, I do. I remember that. I remember that.
The bottom line was not to fall down the hole. It's like not to fall. Don't fall down the air shaft. But they should have done that, right?
Don't become a little girl lost.
Aw.
Oh,
well,
that's
Susan,
a mess.
Thank you so much for accompanying me on this first episode of the Waltons podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. You can find out more about the Waltons podcast at, guess what? thewaltonspodcast.com. Who knew?